Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Above the Bar podcast, a show about a middle-aged father, current events, and how these things affect my everyday life.
Sweet.
There it goes. Alrighty, folks, welcome to another episode of the Above the Bar podcast. It's your host, Sean. Today, we have with us special guest, Joe Nubb.
Hello.
Joe, how long figure we... So, let me put it this way. Joe finishes the trifecta of FBI, Fanboys Inc. He was the last Beatle. I was the fifth Beatle.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
I was the fifth Beatle. Joe was an original... Joe was the Ringo Starr.
I can live with that. Ringo's still alive.
Yeah, I mean, we're going with Joe. Joe was Ringo because of the fact that Joe handled all, you know, he was involved in all the, he had all the other that were missing there. I'm fixing something here.
He had all the what?
Ringo was like the talented one that nobody wanted to accept was talented. You're going to say Tal, who, if you've listened back to old episodes, Tal was Rick, who we did the music episode with, and DW, the Podfather. He was kind of like, I guess we could say he embodied both
No, you got me thrown. You got Paul.
Yeah.
John, Ringo. George Harrison.
George Harrison. Yes, George. So, like, he kind of embodies, like, two.
Yeah.
And then, like, Tal would be George Harrison. he would be like Rick was George Harrison. He was off doing his own shit.
Right.
Like, when he was, like, the first one to decide it was a great idea to, like, to go over to India and all that shit. Like, I could see him doing that.
Right, very easily. Yeah.
But Joe is like, he is my toy guy. Like, when the wife goes out and is like, look, I found toys for Lucas. And what are these? And they're superheroes. I'm sending him messages like, dude, is this some real shit I've got here? Like, is this legit? Like,
right.
And he's sitting there going, Sean, that's from the 1992 set from Marvel. Check the feed on it. You've got nothing there worth talking about.
Market value $3. Yeah.
Right. Basically that's what it is. Look, my grandson is throwing it up today. Hi, Papa. That's right. My grandson, his other grandmother, Gigi. But I have to tell you, so I met someone today. And man, he was kind of abrasive to talk to. And I told him about you. And I said, you know, do you know Joe O'Neill from the Glens Falls there? He said, Joe, do you know a Tom Scullo? S-K-O-T-O-L? Let me see. I'm probably spelling Tom's name wrong. And he's going to watch this and be like, bro, you.
Tom Scullo?
Scullo, that's it.
No, doesn't sound familiar.
Not at all. You don't know him?
Show me a picture of this guy.
I can't because I don't know what the hell I did with my phone.
Are you friends with him on Facebook?
We're friends on Facebook. You know him. You hung out in his basement. The story was that he had all these toys and all these He-Men.
Yeah, Tim Sokol.
Tim Sokol. Why did I say Tom Scullo? Tim Sokol.
Tim very well.
Yeah, I don't know why I said Tom Scullo.
Where did you run into Tim Sokol?
So Tim and I belong to the same AA meetings, and So Tim and I belong to the same networking groups. So we were on this networking meeting, and he does all this stuff with game shows. He's a big game show fan.
He started his own business this year. God bless him, because obviously nobody saw COVID coming.
No,
he quit his job. Yeah. So wish Tim the best.
Yeah.
He loved game shows. He had the idea for years to do something on his own. So, all right, you guys network in the same groups together.
And we just were talking today, and
he was like, yeah, so my family owned this, that, and the other thing up in the Queensbury area.
Yep.
If you guys don't know where Queensbury is, it's one of these cities that pops up on all these lists of like the greatest places to retire, the greatest places to live. And this is all because there's a wall of snow that surrounds it that no one can get into because it's up in the frozen tundras of New York.
That's true.
But yeah, he was just telling me about like how his family had all this stuff up there. Yep. And I said, I know a few guys up there. I said, do you know Joe O'Neill? And he goes, Joe. I was like, yeah, that's normally how most of us respond to Joe. And,
yeah.
And then he told me that, like, I want to hear your, do you have a version of the He-Man story? Because he told me the He-Man toy story.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, Tim and I, we've known each other since high school. And a couple of years ago, I think we were still doing the podcast at the time. You know, I don't know. He came into the restaurant, my family's restaurant that we had up in Lake George, and we got talking and, you know, it was just, he said that he still had his childhood toys. And I was like, yo, let me come over and check them out. I got to see this collection. He's got a nice childhood collection. You know, he's got a big Rubbermaid tote just packed to the brim with great 80s toys. So I kind of went through everything and, you know, he showed me his comics and his big Captain America fan. And I can't remember if I tried to make him an offer then to buy all of his stuff, or it was sort of like laying the groundwork. And then over time, I think we ended up doing a trade, some Star Wars figures.
That's, you know, what he said. Yep.
He wanted an original, you know, first 21 Star Wars figures, 1978, 79, Snaggletooth. And he had a Power of the Force Barada figure I was looking for. So we worked out that trade. So I think I gave him the Snaggletooth. Maybe I gave him one other figure. I don't remember. But yeah, that was that story.
He said that he had all the accessories for his He-Man. Mm-hmm. And you were like, don't worry about it, man. I got this. I'm going to sit down and do this for you. And you sat down with all the He-Man figures and put all the accessories with them. But he said you were smelling them, like, smelled out.
You got to smell the vintage.
Like, see, that's – so, folks, the reason I had to have Joe on, we're after Christmas. Christmas is over with. By this point, we're still finding slivers of wrapping paper all over the house. The packaging is destroyed for the toys. Everything is missing. But we all – and I was having this conversation with some guys at work, and which kind of keyed this idea to me. We all have toys that bring back memories, whether it was a toy that we wish we still had, a toy we wish we would have got, or maybe you still have something. Like, I know guys like Joe and I that are big collectors, we love our toys, we're toy fans.
Mm-hmm.
We still have shit that, like, people are like, oh, man, did you buy that? You know, did you just buy that? Nope, there it is. Castle Grayskull. Look at that. Now, is that your original Castle Grayskull? Because you sent me those pictures and I was trying to pull them up, but StreamYard wouldn't let me bring them in.
Okay.
But it wouldn't. And I hope a buddy of mine from work, Brian, jumps on. We're talking about this the other day. Bro, he's got two of the original that were his growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Transformers. What was the Constructobots turned into?
Devastator.
He's got two original Devastators.
Nice. Very cool.
And he has his original 1984 Optimus Prime with the box.
Nice. That's a very nice piece.
I'm like, bro.
Is it complete?
He says it's complete. I was like, bro, I can remember having those and how awesome they were. And I made a mention to him. I was like, The greatest thing about the Optimus Prime for me,
yeah,
was, do you remember the little car in the back?
Yeah, Roller. Yeah.
That only was ever in one episode. Yeah, it was in one episode. And I remember being a kid and seeing that and be like, it's in there. This is the greatest. Like, it was like, because before I was like, this thing ain't in the fucking show. This is bullshit. Like,
right.
I'm like 8 years old and like talking shit on Transformers. Like, you bitches put some shit in here. This ain't real.
Which is so funny because at 8 years old, like, you're an authority on cartoons. you totally, you know, you're like, no, this is absolutely wrong. They got it completely wrong. What are they thinking? But that's terrific, man. Transformers toys, I love them. You know, fucking through the years, the Comic Depot.
Our home away from home for many years.
At 514 Broadway in Saratoga Springs to meet all your fanboy needs. Or at least it was. I don't even know if that address is correct. But now it's a goddamn beef jerky store.
Oh, is it really?
Let's not get into that. But got so many Transformers at the Comic Depot. Got so many vintage toys, for that matter, at the Comic Depot. But yeah, Optimus Prime, never had him as a kid. Actually, that's one I'll say. That was one that I wanted, but I never had. Optimus, you know, like the kid down the street had it. You know, I think my older cousin in Pennsylvania had it growing up. And I was just like it's Optimus Prime.
Right.
You can boil the Transformers cartoon. If you're only going to have one Transformer figure, that's the one to have. That or Megatron.
Right. Now, see, that was the one I never had. And I didn't realize that if you buy a newer Megatron that's like a replica of the original, yeah. You know he's got an orange front on him?
Oh, yeah. So I bought Takara, which is the original Japanese maker of Transformers, okay. And then Hasbro. Years ago, they started a line called the Masterpiece Series, and they were...
Hold on, Joe. I can't hear you. I don't know if the audio is good or not. My cord just... What happened? My cord. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, you got a little scratchy for a second.
Give me one second. I got to mess with my audio for a second because I lost you.
Yeah, bud.
Audio. Let me switch this real quick. Hola.
I hear the Decepticons.
All right. Talk for a minute, Joe. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Hey there, yeah, guys. I can hear you. Something. My headphones went out on me.
All right. You can hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you. My headphones went out on me. I'm having some kind of issues with my mixer every time, like the slightest hit on the cord and it just goes out. I got
very sensitive.
It's like me. It's very sensitive.
You just need warm milk and some bed.
That's it. Just
can warm I milk and a nap.
It's all about the nap. The nap makes everything better.
Oh, God, yeah.
So go on with your story. I apologize.
No worries. So we're talking about Megatron and new releases. Like, if you're going to get a Megatron in gun mode these days, there's going to be an orange tip. Now, granted, Hasbro, they're not going to make a Megatron in gun mode to release in the United States. However, Takara, who is, you know, the original, you know, creators of Transformers, at least before it was imported over here, they made a masterpiece version of Megatron, which was, I don't know, what do we want to say, 14 inches, 12 inches? This was back in 2007. Beautiful figure, die-cast metal parts. It actually transformed into a gun, but of course, to be able to sell it and import it here to stores like, you know, e-tailers like BigBadToyStore.com, they would put the orange tip in there. But you never see Hasbro sell Megatron. You know, Hasbro will never make a Megatron that transforms into a gun. Or is the pity?
See,
such a shame. He's always a tank nowadays.
Now my wife's going and grabbing some of the backstash and bringing it out right now.
Because I don't
have like all the stuff I have out toys wise that you can see. Are all my 12-inch G.I. Joes. I have a massive collection of just Marine 12-inch G.I. Joes.
Like 60s, 70s stuff?
I don't have any of the 60s and 70s stuff. I have a lot of the early 2000 re-releases and 90s. I have window boxes with like Iwo Jima, the MARSOC Marine. I actually have all four of the boxers. White guy with red hair, white guy with brown hair, and black guy. Mm-hmm. I've got, I actually have a couple of Vietnam ones, one that is a Vietnam grenade thrower and one that's like a tunnel rat. I've got the Gung Ho 12 inch.
Okay. Awesome.
But they're all like, to do that, I'm going to walk around the house with the computer in my hand.
Right.
But what I've actually gotten, and we're going to get it into the wishes here in a minute. So this was actually kind of a wish. So my Aunt Marlene, and you've seen this set. My Aunt Marlene was a big Star Wars fan.
Oh, you showed me this at the Comic Depot.
At, And she was a big Star Wars fan, and I was never allowed to play with these. They were only allowed to be kind of set up and left alone. Let's see if I can get this thing open. My son is Tyler. Do you remember Tyler, my older son?
Yeah.
He's attempting. So this one, dangerous as it is to open, can we?
Yeah.
I don't know if I can even. So this actually.
Turn it on still, fans, and we'll watch every figure and wait.
Just fall through. But do you see what's still in there is the cardboard.
Nice. Yeah.
The original cardboard. And all the figures in this one, she actually put them where they belong with the little trademark nameplate.
Yep. Very cool with the name labels.
And like I have the R2-D2 with the sensor scope.
Nice.
T-Boo, AT-ST driver. Like it's all in there.
Now, do you have the R2-D2 with the pop-up lightsaber?
I do not. Do you have? Is that a thing?
Oh, yeah. They made it in 1985 as one of the last figures released for the Star Wars line before Kenner discontinued it. I used to have it as a kid. I foolishly sold it in 2006 because I thought, you know, like I'm okay with getting rid of my child Star Wars toys because I was focused so much on vintage G.I. Joe. Oh, very nice, dude. But the pop-up R2 saber now goes for, you know, the pop-up R2-D2 with the lightsaber. What is it, like $500 these days? Is he up to six now? $450? Oh, nice.
An original card.
Very nice. Cut bubble card back. That looks to be in great shape. How many card backs you got, fella?
This is actually the only one that's in there.
I'll take.
You'll take. Look, Joe, I know already we could spend this entire next hour of you and I attempting to negotiate what we could have for this, because I've seen the drool marks
that you
get into.
Didn't you? I thought Darren was going to buy that back in the day.
So it's funny. So we were just having, so when I was on with DW, we were actually having this conversation.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, you know, Darren looked at it. And I don't know if you remember this. And Darren looked at it. And Darren was I'm going to tell you, folks, if you ever were in Comic Depot, Darren was one of the most shrewd negotiators I had seen in a long time. I thought I was good.
Yeah.
But Darren was like, oh, man, this is a nice set and everything, but there's scotch tape on here to hold them in. I'm going to have to sit down and clean all these. Oh, man, you know, I'm not going to be able to give you that much, you know, a couple dollars a figure. And I'm looking at it going, this is complete sets. Like, this is Return of the Jedi. Look at these.
Nice.
You know,
yep.
Original, you know, I'm trying to figure out how this camera, because it is reverse.
I used to have some of them. Just sold them a couple of years ago, too.
You know, what does something like that even go for?
Honestly, something like that, you're not going to get a ton. You know, maybe like $10, $15, maybe.
1983.
But they're nice. They're cool.
1983. Is that an eraser? No, this is an eraser.
Yep. What's the other one? A pencil topper?
Yeah, it's like a pencil sharpener.
Oh, nice. Very cool.
The pencil sharpener. I think this is a pencil. This camera's getting me. Pencil sharpener also.
Very cool.
So you've got all these. We do have Jabba. I don't have all the pieces out, but complete Jabba.
Nice. Very good. Complete.
So you know, these were when I was, and this was probably one of my wants as a kid. Only because my aunt had the whole thing, and I'm like, you have this, and you had his head. The 17-year-old just realized that this has been sitting there, and that when you move his tail, his head moves. he's sitting next to me going, that's so cool. Yeah.
Nice. I'll take that one too. Great.
Right. See, Joe's going to take the whole collection off.
We'll haggle offline.
No, because we can start it here and maybe somebody else will jump in.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
And you bring it up, G.I. Joe. I love G.I. Joes. Like the 3 3/4.
My favorite toy line as a kid. Still my favorite. It is the best 80s toy line.
Absolutely.
No matter what. Yep.
So much articulation. The Star Wars stuff was fun, but they were 5 points.
Yep.
And what were the G.I. Joes, like 12 or something like that?
Right. I mean, you had ball jointed heads, you know, ball jointed arms, swivel arms,
bended hand stern, ankle stern,
waist, knees, hips, head, shoulders, knees and toes,
knees and toes.
Plus you had all the accessories, and then you had the amazingly gorgeous card art. The packaging
is
the icing on the cake, and it's uncomparable.
Yeah, there's never been anything. So that was always my go-to, and I had a lot of G.I. Joe. I had a lot of duplicate. I probably had like 5 bazookas.
Nice.
And it was always like, and I don't know if because he was just like the cheap unknown guy, but like everybody would be like, oh, here's a bazooka.
Right. Here, honey, I got you another bazooka. You're like, at least give me some Cobra Troopers. I need troop builders over here. See, actually, I got my bag of G.I. Joe fit. One of my bags of G.I. Joe figures right here.
We'll do a one for one.
So we'll just start.
What do we got? Go the other way. Nice.
We're going heavy hitter first. Storm Shadow.
Snake Eyes in there with him, or is it just Storm Shadow?
Well, in that case, it's just Snake Eyes, but I got Jesus Christ, it's just Storm Shadow, but Snake I got Shadow. Snake Eyes somewhere. Firefly, we'll go big first. Firefly, lose complete. Mail-in Duke, and you can tell he's mail-in. It's a little tough to see, but you can see the American flag sticker on the shoulder. That's the indicator that he was the mail-in version. Oh, actually, I recently picked up somebody's childhood collection and found Admiral Keelhaul from the USS Flag in there.
Now you bring it up. Now,
that's one
that was my wish.
Yeah.
But I want to know what kid, and a buddy of mine from the Marine Corps, Steve Ciciola, just said he still has his collection. I'm curious, what kid out there got the flag? That son of a bitch was, isn't it the largest toy ever produced?
7 feet long. I only knew there was one kid in my neighborhood who had it. His name was Thad Fileski. The neighborhood story was that this kid was like a year or two older than me. So when you're a kid, being a year or two older, that's a
world. Oh, yeah, it was monstrous.
You might as well be 30 years old. So, you know, it was always intimidating to go over to this guy's house. And the story that I had heard was that, like, he and his dad were driving on the Northway, and they lost control of the car. The car goes in the river, in the Hudson River, and the kid saves his dad's life. And then the dad just agrees, like, he's just going to buy him every single G.I. Joe toy. That was the neighborhood story. That was the urban myth.
The urban legend.
I grew up in suburbia, so that was the suburban myth. But he had the flag. I think I only saw it once in his basement. And
you had to pay admission. Did you have to pay admission to go see it?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Look, you can see it, kid, but it's going to cost you a quarter. Like, I don't. And don't touch it.
BMX, you know, next for every weekend for the next month or something like that. Who knows?
So now I had the headquarters.
Okay.
I had the F-14. I had the Apache. I had a couple of the Cobra River crafts.
Yep.
I had the personnel carrier, which was the greatest.
The APC.
Yep, I had that. And then I also had the hovercraft. You had the button on the back and it would...
Yep, the depth charges. Oh, yeah, and the fans. That was another one. I wish I had it. It was big. It was cool. Actually, just picked one of those up like 6 months ago in a lot, but it was, you know, incomplete. My buddy, who he's a big garage sailor, that's actually where I got one of these Castle Grayskulls from. I think this one down here. So I picked it up from him, bought a huge lot of toys from him, but he fucking smokes in his house and he smokes like a goddamn chimney. I'm like, motherfucker.
So it smells like tobacco.
It still does. I scrubbed the hell out of it. I put it in a box with, like, you know, open boxes of Arm & Hammer. It still has not absorbed the scent. I think I'm going to have to leave it outside all winter and let the cool fresh air just breeze through the damn thing.
Take it away.
Right, yeah. But yeah, the hovercraft, the whale, beautiful toy. gorgeous.
Do you remember the names of these things, Joe?
Yeah.
I was telling a buddy of mine today, I was like, look, Joe's the guy that like you hold up an Amigo and he's like, oh, that's from the 1976 collection from Amigo. If you check his feed, as long as it says blah, 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 it was made in this place. He's go ahead and he's missing his cod piece right now.
Right. Like
Joe's my guy. I call when I go, like, I don't know what this shit is. Joe, what is this?
So, you know, the funny thing is that, you know, as I kind of transitioned out of Fanboys Inc., you know, because my family's restaurant, we were, you know, I was getting more involved with that. And my daughter was getting a little bit older and I was spending, you know, I had her more often and I just didn't have the time to do the podcast as much. But then around that same time, I met a local group of guys, the Empire State Star Wars Collectors Club, kind of based around Albany, but really we have members down in Long Island, New York City, Wow. You know, Poughkeepsie, Kingston area, way out in Syracuse, Rochester, Buffalo. And so we will travel all over to each other's houses all over the states. And I thought I was a big deal. Like, I thought I knew my shit with the toy collecting community. I'm now getting the chance, or I have gotten the chance, to meet the guys who were writing the articles and the books that I was reading
to absorb
all my knowledge. And now all of a sudden I'm like actually getting to see these one-of-a-kind pieces. Like, you know, we're talking Star Wars. So, you know, I've gotten to see like the original wax sculpt of like the Jabba the Hutt figure and shit. So it's just this incredible opportunity that has been, you know, given to me. And I'm so thankful for it. And I certainly appreciate your compliment of, you know, me, you know, knowing my shit. But man, if you met some of these other guys that I met, they put myself to shame. They'll take that tauntaun of yours and be like, yeah, so the guy who sculpted this, he grew up in Pittsburgh and, you know, his dad worked for.
Isn't that crazy? You know, they've got it all figured out and they're like, oh, no. You need more. You don't have this.
Now, speaking of that, let me see. That looks like unbroken harnesses on that thing. I'll take that one as well. We'll talk. Yeah, no.
Oh, is that a big deal that like the harnesses being unbroken on these?
Yeah, I guess the harnesses are always, they're very fragile.
Look, I'm telling you right now, this is from my aunt Marlene's collection.
I know. I remember
doing that. And these have, you know, when some people are like, well, mine were gently played with, this, that, or the other.
Right, those were like never played with.
These were packages that were opened and put on shelves, and I'm really surprised that she never had the packaging.
Ah, that's a shame. That's like, a shame. She threw it out.
I just want to sit down now and just like.
Well, I think you should just put the tauntaun in front of your camera. Hang on, I'll get one. I'll get one for me.
All right, you get one, and we could actually let the tauntaun do the interview. Somebody is watching this and going, Murphy's big dork and an ass. What the hell is going on here?
You know, I got my hat at.
As two grown men allow their toys to talk to each other.
That's right.
So, how are things going? Up one falls.
What's up, buddy?
What's up, pal? Oh, man. This is great visual, but when the podcast goes up, people are going to be like, what the fuck is this?
What the fuck is this nonsense?
This is just some guy talking out the side of his face. I can tell.
Man, I tell you, man, working for the Empire is tough, but at least I got health insurance.
Oh, we're the rebels. We're looking for union work. This is bullshit.
So here is an example of one of the ones that I wish I had as a kid. You know, the Empire Strikes Back 1980 AT-AT by Kenner Toys.
That's an original.
This is an original, and I just completed it the other day. So you'll see these chin guns here, these two guns here. There's a little battery cover here. This was not mine, but this was my buddy Kevin's as a kid. His mom sold their childhood home a few years ago. So he's getting, you know, all his old shit. He gave me his old Millennium Falcon, his old AT-AT.
Oh, you know, the Millennium Falcon.
Well loved, but I'm like, dude, keep it for your son. He's like, nah, he doesn't care about it. I was like, all right, man. So I have spent the last few years putting this beauty together, so very happy to say, give me a kiss, very happy to say that I finally completed the AT-AT.
Now, you said the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
How badly as a kid did you wish that the chessboard was real?
Oh my God, the chessboard was the coolest thing.
Like the chessboard. And then somebody recently, so I have a guy that I work with, Tom. Tom is a big, like, he's into, like, he knew who Thal was, or Thorne, the guy they keep talking about.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the guy. He knew all this stuff. I never knew that the hole in the front of the Millennium Falcon was because it was supposed to be pushing freight like a tugboat.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had no idea. I'm like, ain't this some bullshit here? I had 0.0 clue that that's what that thing was for. And yep. He's like, yeah, bro, that's what that. I'm like, all right. Well, I thought I knew some shit. That's what, man, I feel like with
shit.
That's what I feel like with so much of this. I'm like, yeah, no, I am absolutely clueless with all of this. Here's another example of things that my Aunt Marlene was into. Have you ever seen one of them?
Oh, scooch that over a little. C-3PO. Nope, other way. No kidding.
Sassy pants C-3PO. He has nipples and all.
I love it. How much you want for that one? Put that one aside. Put that in my pile. Put it in my pile.
Like, real, it's so funny.
I'm going to show you. This is the – so I just showed you the vintage childhood Millennium Falcon. This is Hasbro's 2008 Millennium Falcon toy that they came out with. Over 2 feet long, lightning sounds. Let's see if I can get some dialogue in here. Hang on, or some sound effects here. But it's an absolute beautiful, beautiful toy.
Were you the one that grabbed it from the ceiling? Oh, look at that thing.
Lights in the cockpit. And although this particular piece is missing, the holographic chessboard, it does actually open up. Might be tough to see, but there is. Hey, you can't really see in my basement here. Maybe a little. But see, there is an actual chessboard in there that you can have, you know, C-3PO and R2-D2 playing chess.
So this is something to think about here, folks. I'm broadcasting from my basement, and Joe's broadcasting from his basement.
That's right.
While our wives are upstairs. And all of our toys are in the basement, because no matter how much they love us, they still think you can keep your crap in the basement.
That's right.
And please keep it out of my living room.
You're an embarrassment. Go in the basement, you cave dweller.
What the fuck is wrong with you that you're put that shit right next to the Christmas tree,
right,
that we're going out once a year? Why did you buy that? Because I really like it. I think it's cool. Now, what was your toy, Joe? Like, what was the one that was it? We were talking about this beforehand.
Yeah.
Is it the one that I think it, or no, maybe it was during the show. Was it the Optimus Prime? Was that your, like, the one that you never got? What was the Joe?
The one that I never got. Hang on, let me put this beast down.
That's what she said.
So the one that I always wanted and I never got was 1982 Star Wars Sears exclusive micro collection Millennium Falcon toy. So you just saw the size of those Falcons. Right. This one was, you know, probably like this big, based on The Empire Strikes Back. So you had a Luke, Lando, Chewbacca. It was the only set in the micro series that had C-3PO and R2-D2. And these figures are like little, you know, 1-inch die-cast metal. And so my mom and I were in the store. We see the Millennium Falcon. I was like, oh, mom, I want it. You know, she's like, nope, we're not getting it. You know, holidays are coming up. You know, maybe Santa Claus will bring it for you. So she never got it for me. I never saw it again. Fast forward to the mid to late 90s. We're at King of Prussia Mall in King of Prussia.
That's Maine. Yeah, I know where it is.
Yep. So huge fucking mall. I think there was a Starlog store. And
that.
So you remember Starlog magazine?
No.
Starlog magazine, like sci-fi stuff, horror stuff.
Nope.
You're kidding. You don't know. Yes, you know Starlog magazine.
I don't know it. I swear to you on all that's holy, I don't know this magazine.
Okay, fair enough. So for your dutiful listeners out there, so Starlog magazine was, you know, it was a magazine that focused on interviewing and you know, showcasing horror films, sci-fi films, fantasy films like Star Wars. And so, yeah, I believe they had a store as well. So we go in, we see the Micro Millennium Falcon toy in the box. Now, granted, this is like, I don't know, 96, 97, 98. I think the thing had like a $300 price tag on it. And I said to my mom, like, Mom, there's the Micro, you know, like, you know, come on, let's, you know, you kind of boxed me the last time. Let's hook it up.
Drop the ball on this one, lady. Yeah.
And so she go ahead and pay up. Like, ha, 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 let's go. Let's go. We're leaving. So I never got it then, but I did get it in the early 2000s. And it was an amazing piece. I loved it. It was awesome. It was everything now, that I wanted to be and more.
Now, in the early 2000s, would that put you back?
I think probably about the same.
About three bills?
Yeah, like a couple $100.
Wow. See, that's, you know, guys that like kept the boxes, I was never that kid. Like I was the kid that was going to buzzsaw through that box to get to that toy. And as far as like stickers were concerned, right. And as far as like stickers were concerned, these stickers are bullshit. I ain't putting these damn things on. I want to play with this thing.
Right.
Like I remember.
I have no time for stickers. I need to play.
This is bullshit. And see, I was a big Indiana Jones fan.
Ah, nice.
So a lot of times mine ended up on like Indiana Jones level adventures as like a big giant team. I don't have time for you guys to be fighting because for whatever reason, I ended up with like 20 G.I. Joes and 5 Cobras. This shit doesn't work out. Right. You guys are an exploration team looking for the secret treasure. We're going with it this way.
That's cool. I like that idea.
I was always that kid because I was like, the math doesn't, like I was able to look at it and go, the math doesn't work out here. You're never going to win this battle. This is just bullshit. I don't have enough of these other ones. So now what was the one for you though, that like, this was the one, like when I got this for Christmas, this was like, right. It didn't get any better.
Peak. So that would have been 1987.
You know, the years,
the G.I. Joe Space Shuttle Defiance.
You had the Defiant?
I did. I was very blessed because, you know, also understand my father. Do you remember the Joy Store, Toys for Joy?
No, but I remember when he worked at FYE.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, because you're from like Maryland or something, right?
Yeah, I'm from Baltimore.
That's right. That explains that stupid, ridiculous accent of yours.
You ain't the only one that says it. Look, you know how many times up here people are like, so you're from like the South, right? And I'm like, well, south of the Mason-Dixon. Like Georgia or Alabama? I'm like, no, you whack ass. I'm from Baltimore. They're like, that's the South?
And you're like, no, it's not the South.
No, geography was not your friend, was it?
Right. And I kid because, you know, your accent, it reminds me exactly of my family in Philly. You got that? Oh, yeah.
It's the same.
It's the same exact accent.
Mid-Atlantic.
So I bust your balls when I say that with love. So anyway, so locally in upstate New York, there was a chain of department stores that had a kind of an offshoot toy store. It was called the Joy Store. The offshoot was Toys for Joy. And so when my family and I moved here in 1985, it was so my dad could work for the company. And so my dad worked for a toy store. Life was good when you're 10 years old. So yeah, 1 year, you know, wake up Christmas morning, there's the G.I. Joe Space Shuttle Defiant, and it was fucking tits, bro. It was me. I mean, it's everything that you would expect it to be.
Bro, how big was that sucker?
Fucking
massive.
Big, bro. Wicked big. I tell you, the box, I don't know. I'm 6'1". Box is probably like this tall, at least 5 feet tall.
So it was almost as big as the flag.
No. Because flag was 7 feet long. There's no beating that.
It's the large. I know it's the largest toy ever produced.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. You know, this thing, I don't know, maybe it was like 2 feet tall, 2 feet wide kind of thing. I mean, it was like just a giant brick. But, you know, then the gantry doors would open up and you could crank a wheel in the back and then the thing would you know, the shuttle part, the gantry, whatever, would kind of lift. And then the shuttles, you could launch them into the air. There was two shuttles, you know, there was the main shuttle, the booster, and then you had the little space shuttle that could detach from it. You could connect them in all sorts of ways and kind of create like a space station, you know, came with an astronaut and then a driver for the actual crawler, the Earth crawler machine. It was awesome. It was so cool. I remember on Christmas night, you know, this 1987. So I'm 10. My sister's 15. She's dating boys at that time. So her boyfriend came over to pick her up and they're about to go out. She's still getting ready. My dad is sitting there like he's down on one knee. He's explaining to her boyfriend like the realistic application, the real world application of this toy. Like, well, and then this, you know, this shuttle here, it's based on such and such. And it's like, that's just my dad. God bless.
Well, see, I love your dad. I've sat at the bar and talked with your dad.
You met him.
I have sat at the bar and I have spoke with your dad, and
he is a talker.
That's, you know, what makes him so amazing. And it was funny because when you were sent, folks, I have all these pictures of Joe. I'm going to try to, if he's okay with it, I might put him on our Instagram page, because we have our Instagram so everybody can see Joe and his toys. There was one of your pictures we have to talk about here in a minute, but sure. Joe's dad was an FYE guy, retired out of there. Great restaurant. I didn't realize the one was gone. I didn't know that you guys didn't have the place up in Queensbury anymore.
Yeah.
Till recently. That'll tell you how long it had been since I'd been up there. Like Herb and I were talking. He was like, oh, what's it been? A few months. I said, bro, we haven't seen each other since the restaurant. When I came up here and I had brought him, Thing 2-in-1. Yeah. It was Thing 2-in-1s. Yep. I was like, bro, I brought you those Thing 2-in-1s. He was like,
that was the one that grilled cinema in Glens Falls. So that was 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Yep. No shit. I remember the night that you dropped those off too.
Yeah. And he was like, has it been that long? I was like, yeah, bro, I don't come up this way. It's just not
right.
You're for just, me.
Nothing's to bring you up this way. So
yeah, just you guys, you know, unless you guys are like, hey, we're doing something. I got no reason to come up here. But he was like, yeah, man, it's been that. I was like, yeah, it's been that long. So it's a combo of my best and still have. Now I'll give you your still have. Like, do you have anything of like, I know you got a lot of your toys. My buddy Steve still has his. I know you sell collections, buy collections. You kind of back and forth.
Like I have, you know, in 2005, I sold kind of the majority of my childhood G.I. Joe collection, because that stuff was mostly like the late 80s, early 90s stuff. And what I was focused on at that time, it was like, I want to get every G.I. Joe toy from 82 to 86, you know, the prime cartoon years. So I sold off the childhood collection to fuel another part. Then in 2006, I sold off the childhood Star Wars to, again, fuel this G.I. Joe obsession at the time. Let's see, 2007, I sold my childhood Transformers, probably same reason, just trying to fuel the G.I. Joe collection. Then in 2009, I sold the G.I. Joe collection. I still have some.
I remember you selling the G.I. Joe collection.
Yeah.
I remember that.
I made good money on that too, because I sold it right before the first movie came out. And I said, you know what? There's no better time to sell it now, because if this thing is a dud, then popularity is going to drop for G.I. Joe. But if this thing is a success, then the popularity, you know, it's going to skyrocket in price. But hey, at least I'm going to, you know, I'll be able to make the best money that I can right now.
Right. You'll make out in the deal.
Yeah. Way. Yep. Yeah. Now, so good with that sale. And then, and honestly, the sales of G.I. Joe, maybe they dropped a little bit over the couple of years, but G.I. Joe prices have been on the rise for the last few years. No doubt.
And it's because
Deep Six. Just kidding. Nobody cares about them.
I love Deep Six because I had the little watercraft thing.
Yep.
That's it. I had these things. Now, my son ain't going to listen to me if I ask him. I actually have a Japanese 3¾ in the box.
For what?
G.I. Joe.
No shit. Where is it?
Hold on. Like, entertain the folks for a moment.
All right. Very good.
Be entertaining.
All right, very good. So, folks, we are going to go over some of Joe Nubbs' picks or Joe Nubbs' purchases of 2020. As we wind down the year, one of the most recent purchases we made was the Star Wars Return of the Jedi Jabba the Hutt Dungeon. This is the Klaatu NICTU 88 version, as opposed to the later version, which features Power of the Force figures, Amanaman, EV-99, and Barada. So even though this is not the most popular version, it's still pretty darn cool. Plus, still in the box, complete tape. Wait, where is it? Tape is still sealed on one side. So I like that. I like when boxes have the tape still sealed on one side. I love you. Okay. That wasn't weird. Should I keep entertaining, or are you gonna show us? Nice.
So this is a 40th anniversary.
What?
G.I. Joe Japanese. Look at the top there, Joe. Can you tell?
40th anniversary. Very cool. So what figures in there?
It's never been opened. Mm-hmm. Like, it's still got the like pull tab to open it. Still intact. I have no idea because I don't speak Japanese. I couldn't tell you. Let's see.
I want to see who's in there.
So this is what you could have got in that box.
Oh, very cool. Very but cool, dude.
I couldn't tell you on God's green earth what's in here because it's all in Japanese.
Yep.
And it's just so funny to me because it's a company, Takara.
Yep.
Takara's, whatever it is.
Takara.
Yeah, Taco Bell. I think that's the name of the company. Taco Bell put those out, and that's who did this.
So Takara, I mean, they're a huge Japanese company. Without them, we would not have Transformers. First off, you're in good company if you've got some Takara product there. They're Hasbro's counterpart in the East.
My wife like must have just put Lucas down. And if everybody wants to send Joe a congratulations, Joe's a year younger than me, mm-hmm. and Joe just had twins. Can you tell? Oh, look, just leave Wampa. It right where it was. Can you tell what that is, Joe?
Well, it's Wampa. Don't fucking play games with me, bro.
He saw the hands and goes, "It's a Wampa. Don't fucking play games with me, bro."
Very nice.
That's April's favorite, only because she says April. it looks like me. Joe says, "Hi, April." She said, "Hi, Joe."
Nice.
Yep. Oh, what the hell is that? Oh my God!
It's a toy I just found.
Hold on a sec. Now, give me toy. That there. So this I didn't even know was in there.
It's a surprise.
This is still. So you see what that is? That's not rolling papers, Joe. Just so you know, that's not rolling papers.
We're gonna have to have. This is actually an intervention.
This is an intervention. Princess nice. Leia.
Nice.
But it came inside of this.
Ooh.
And there's actually a stand. And it actually says, this actually says on it, Leia card stand, support the carte Leia. But I don't know where my aunt would have got this. On the bottom, it actually says, trademark 1996.
Yeah, applause.
Lucasfilm Limited, Applause China.
Yeah. Yep, that's what I thought. Yeah, it looks like, so Applause is a company. They made a lot of like, PVC figures, and when you held up the Leia, it kind of looked like one of those. So, yeah, nice, cool little piece. Probably not worth, probably not all that valuable, but if it's part of your aunt's awesome collection, then yeah, that's cool, man.
Yeah, like this, I like I said, as a kid, this collection was everything. So I got to give you the story. Now, this is a family lore and legend, this story. And the only reason I say that is, if anybody from back home in Baltimore, any of my family that knew my grandfather, my grandfather was a no-nonsense kind of guy. He didn't play games. He was the kind of guy, though, that would sit, and you could come in the house with my uncles, and my Uncle Mike is 8 years older than me, so he was raised more, I was like a brother, because he's only 8 years older than me.
Yep.
My Uncle John, I think he was 10 years older than me, maybe 9. So you have to understand, my grandfather was also things like, do you know what a numbers man is?
Like running numbers kind of thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
My grandfather was the numbers man in Baltimore City.
Okay, right on.
Like some people are like, bullshit. Trust me on all that's holy. I can remember stories of like guys coming in to get their numbers from my grandfather. And I was a little guy. I was like 5, 6 years old. And he always had a knot of cash, like that. And guys would be like, what's your name, son? And I'd be like, Sean. And they'd be like, John. And I'd be like, Sean. And about the second time they said John, he would look at him and go, the boy said Sean. Didn't you hear him? And that was the end of the conversation at that point.
Right.
He had love and hate tattooed on his knuckles.
He had what?
Love and hate tattooed on his knuckles. And he looked like Roy Orbison.
That says it all.
So give you kind of a background on my grandfather. And my grandmother was a no-nonsense kind of woman also. We actually used to call her G.I. Judy. because she would bark orders to everyone. So one Christmas, and I remember this, I was probably about 4 or 5 years old, and I remember watching all the classic shows, and they would get the very classic toys. Oh, I want the police officer set. I want the fire engine. I want this, that, or the other. So I remember asking my grandfather for a red fire engine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was my memory of it. The story continues on over the years of my mother and everybody else who was involved with my grandfather and my grandmother's conversation. My grandfather lost his leg to diabetes. So mm-hmm. he actually had a hospital bed in the living room and still okay. ran numbers. Understand this.
Right.
So the story was that my grandmother or my grand, I told my grandfather this, I'm the oldest grandchild, the whole nine yards. And my grandmother or grandfather yelled into the kitchen, Judy, Judy. She came in and goes, what, John? Go get that boy a red fire engine. John, I've already bought him all of his Christmas presents. I'm not buying anything else. Judy, go buy that boy a red fire engine. Supposedly, she made a comment one more time about how she wasn't going to go. And all I can tell you.
Oh.
Is, there it is. My original.
Well done.
Tonka. See, it's still got the Tonka sticker on it.
I love it.
And I don't have, there was a ladder and a hose for the side of it.
Yep.
All these different things. It still goes up and down. Bro, I play, remember all those G.I. Joes and everything I was telling yep. you about? They all played on this.
That's they, awesome, man.
They all worked on this. This might have got you over the wall of the headquarters. This might have got you onto a chair that was, got you onto the table where the headquarters was at.
Yep. Yep.
All those toys, but this one piece right here was like the paint's chipping off. My wife said to me, aren't you going to clean it? I said, I'll be damned if I'm going to clean this thing.
That's it the does not clean.
That's it.
Yeah, I love it.
I mean, this was my one piece that has survived over all the years that I'm like, no, like if it's the one piece, like if somebody said, well, what's the one thing that you would run back in item wise to go get. I'm going to go get this fire engine because right. I've just had it. I've had it since I was 4 or 5.
I love it, man. That's amazing. That's amazing. Shoot, so, that's a tall order to fill there, my friend. I can't beat that story.
It's got a story.
That is such a good story. I can't beat that one. But I will share something with you because especially because you've been showing off, you know, the Star Wars stuff. You got me in a Star Warsy. Kind of a Star Warsy mood, bro. So this is, let's see, not there.
Well, Joe's getting his stuff together. If anybody's got any of their toys, anybody who's watching right now, any of your toys that you had or wish you would have had, please send me a message. I can see it. I'll post it up on here. If you have toys currently that you're like, hey, man, I know I got this one. What's it worth? I can't tell you that Joe's going to know the exact price. But he's going to be able to give us at least a better understanding of what's out there. And yep. in a minute, after he shows me what he's got here, he's going to give us a little hint to find out what stuff is worth.
That's right. So first off, I'm not going to open this thing. Everything will go flying out. But this inside of here, this is one of the things I would run back in to grab if the house was on fire. This is the official collector display case by Hasbro. And it's got all, what was it got? All 12. Of the straight arm G.I. Joes, Cobra, the troop, everybody on here, everybody's file card, everybody's complete. This is one of my favorites. And then this one, this is the other thing. I would have G.I. Joe
like in suitcases running with the suitcase. Have like
Star Wars case in the other. This
I remember that case.
I picked this up from John's place, Excellent Adventures, back in 2013. And
the plastic isn't broken.
What's that?
The plastic isn't broken.
What do you mean the plastic? Yeah, it's not broken. Yeah.
Like, remember, they always would like rip and right. see like, the foamy underneath of it?
Yep. Always broken, but all the figures. Oh, if I could do this without fucking dropping everybody.
That would just be more entertaining, though. Remember, that's
yeah, right.
You know, it's visual, bad audio.
Everybody's complete. Everybody's got their weapons, all original. You know, the figures are in really nice shape. You know, Luke Skywalker.
Is that a retractable lightsaber?
With his original lightsaber. Not the double. I wish it was double telescoping because then he'd be worth a lot more. But I'm not going to complain. You know, he's got his original lightsaber. So John from Excellent Adventures got this Star Wars collection in back in 2013. And so he called me, or maybe I just happened to be in the shop. Original Princess Leia, nice and clean.
For those of you that listen to the podcast, Joe is currently sniffing toys. I just want you to know that.
That's right. Let me sniff louder for the audio. That was a fake. But no, John got this collection in. This was before Star Wars got big again. You know, 2015, Force Awakens, Star Wars blew back up. Everybody started collecting again. So I was very thankful to have gotten these at a very reasonable price before prices have gotten to the insane place that they are now. So if the house was on fire, these are two cases that I would grab first.
Got to go back and get them. Now here's, because we're getting ready to wrap this up here in a minute. Yeah. What is the one toy that, like, if you got it, like, as a toy set, you were like, oh, I appreciate that, but you know, this isn't this. Because I know I have one in my mind that I wouldn't have cared as a kid, but I can kind of see somebody who was more into it. They'd have been like, oh, you got me these?
Right.
You know these aren't really these.
That's not these. Right. I think there was a kid, I remember that, yeah, there was a kid down the street. He was actually one of my, like, closest buddies, neighborhood friends as a kid. You know, we got in all sorts of trouble together, but he was always more outdoor activities, hiking. He played soccer, sports, whereas I was definitely more indoors playing toys and you know, stuff like that. And so for a birthday one year, he got me like a knockoff Transformer figure. It was a knockoff line called Converters, and it was one of those things where I was like, "Oh, thanks." But meanwhile, in my head, I'm like, "What the fuck is this?
What is this bullshit?
Gas station garbage?" Yeah, I still have the gun. I actually found the gun a couple months ago.
You know what came to mind to me was GoBots.
GoBot, right? Yep.
Like, but GoBots was
at least a legitimate brand. You know, this Converters thing was definitely just sort of like a, if you know, you had Transformers, then you had GoBots, then there was Converters, like, way down here at the bottom.
I've never even heard of Converters.
Right, exactly.
So let's give everybody a little advice, Joe. Like, so if they don't have access to a Joe Nub, they don't have their own Joe Nub.
Right.
I'm lucky enough to have my own Joe Nub. And you needed to.
There's got to be a better way to say that one.
Come on.
You have access to your own Joe Nub.
I have access to my own Joe Nub. If you didn't have access to your own Joe Nub and you're running across, you're in mom's basement, you're cleaning out things for her as you're sending her to the home, you know, what would be the way to figure out what the value of some of this stuff that you're finding is?
Right. Great question. So there's a couple different ways you can go. eBay is your best friend. You know, if you have an idea of what you got, if you're like, oh yeah, these are He-Man figures, but I don't know exactly who is who, start with just checking on eBay. Just type in He-Man or Masters of the Universe. You're going to get a lot of stuff coming up. Look for the copyright information that's printed on an action figure. It might give you a date. It might give you the company's name, Mattel, Hasbro, etc. So start typing those into either eBay searches or even Google searches. Also on eBay, if you're looking for value, don't just look at what people are listing things for, because people are going to say, like, hey, I've got something.
Like the Castle Grayskull.
Yeah, not even Castle Grayskull. They're like, I have some old beat up Star Wars figure from 1999, and I think it's worth $50, when really it's like, this thing's worth like $2, if that. So don't go by what people are listing it for. Always look at the sold listings. And to find that, I think on the left-hand side of your eBay page, kind of scroll a little bit down the page, and then eventually you'll see a little box where you can check for sold listings. There you're going to get the most accurate information possible. Another place is, if you're really, you know, looking to dig in on some information about toys, join some Facebook toy collecting groups. You know, go on Facebook, type in action figures, vintage action figures, things like that. You'll find some groups pop up. There's a lot of people on there that are quick and eager to help. So take a couple of nice clear photos, get some good lighting, make sure everything is kind of spread out and you can see it.
You know, we're talking about toys again. Like, this is toys we're talking about. We're not talking about your spread, right? Like, we don't need the lighting.
So just, and then you kick back and make sure your shade. Wait, not what? Yeah. And then, just say, hey, could I get some help here? And you'd be surprised. People will be eager to help you out.
So April loves to buy Lucas toys. Like, she'll find these ones at like yard sales like you do.
Yeah.
She just brought me this and she had a question for you. How do we put this back to make this back into what it's supposed to be?
Nice, dude. Oh, I love that figure. So that is a 1998 Transformers Beast Wars Transmetal. That is Optimus Primal. Oh yeah, you're gonna need the instructions from now on.
Oh wait, Joe. Let me hold on. I have to switch the audio for a minute, Joe, because you're on my headset again. I want you to actually say that so that because I want April to hear what you just said because you're just fucking looking at it and you're not holding it and you're not looking anything up right now. And that's so wild to me. So say it again, Joe, what is this?
So that is a 1998 Transformers Transmetal Optimus Primal action figure. I mean, turn them around. Let me see them a little bit. Okay. Looks to be missing some missiles. There's some kind of wrist guards that go around. Looks like you might have some of them, or that's just the wings. So you're missing the wrist guards. You're missing his gun. I don't see any missiles there. But as far as directions, I will tell you that thing was a bit of a beast to transform. No pun intended. Anyways. Google the instructions if you're looking out how to learn how to transform that guy. But nice pickup. Nice pickup for a yard sale find. How much did you pay for it? Last April I paid for it.
What'd you pay for that? $2, she said.
It's a fucking steal.
She talked
him
down to $2.
Nice. It's a steal.
She said they wanted 15 and she talked him down to 2. She actually showed him her cleavage, is what she did.
That's nice.
Whenever we go yard sailing, I actually ensure that my wife wears the most low cut thing that she possibly can, evening gown. We actually like the yard sale while she wears an evening gown.
Makes a lot of sense.
Large slit up the leg.
That's sensible when you're yard sailing.
Right. that's just what we go with. Open toe of some form. And while she's talking to them, I'm like, "Can we get it any cheaper?"
Right.
Prefer to drop the toys every so often, whatever's necessary. I'm just saying. You do what you got to do.
Well, if it works.
I know somebody's listening. Is like, the fuck is he? What? He's pimping his wife out for toys at a yard sale?
Not even good toys. Like broken, busted up, hand-me-down yard sale toys.
Man. Not even brand new in the box bullshit. This is broken down shit.
April deserves better. At least bring her like F.A.O. Schwartz and have her show off the good. Well, F.A.O. Schwartz is closed, but what are you going to do?
Well, you can get those at Macy's. Macy's carries F.A.O. Schwartz.
Target carries F.A.O. Schwartz as well.
That's like the new thing. Like that, and I can, we're a little bit over if you got time for a couple more minutes. I remember when F.A.O. Schwartz went from this place I had never heard of to the movie Big, like, changed the game with that place.
Yep.
And I got to go into, I took the kids years and years and years ago to the Times Square Toys R Us before it closed.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Had you ever been in that place?
I've been there a couple of times. And actually, I'll tell you a funny story about F.A.O. Schwartz as well, or just New York City. So touching back on my father and his career with the Joy Store and the Toys for Joy era, stores up here in the North Country. So every year, my family and I, he would take us down to New York City. We would have a whole, extravaganza. We would go and see Radio City Music Hall, Christmas show. We'd see the Rockettes, see the Christmas tree in Rockefeller Plaza. We would go to F.A.O. Schwartz. And what I did not realize until I was older is the reason we were down there, he was going to Toy Fair every year. And for those who don't know, Toy Fair is the annual event held down in New York City. And it's where all of the
vendor event
Hasbro, Mattel, Remco, whatever, you know, whatever toy lines are out there, they will come in there, present their items, and then the buyers come in and say, okay, I'll take, you know, 50,000 units of this G.I. Joe or whatever. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding? You know, like I'll say this to my dad now, like, are you fucking, you were at fucking Toy Fair, you had a 10-year-old kid, and never even told me that you were going there. And then he was smart. So at Toy Fair, they would hand out brochures, you know, like here's what we're going to present in 1988. You know, these fucking Toy Fair magazines are now worth, I don't know, it depends on what year you get, but usually they're over like $100, 60, 70 bucks, $100. And I'm like, you never even like hung on to any of those for me. Come on, Dad. What are you doing? You're killing me.
He's a business. He was a businessman. He was like a bull, and he was smart.
And he, he even said, he's like, I had my toy buyer, Mike Sullivan. He's like, he had all those magazines. He's like, I wasn't thinking about that stuff. So it was just kind of a funny story. And I like to bust myself.
Because your dad's great. I love your dad. Dad's so great. You know what? Your whole family. I've met just, I think, only person, I don't know if I met your mom. I definitely met your sister.
Yeah, she would have been there. You know, at that point, probably when you came up, my mom probably either went home or, you know, went to pick my daughter up because I was still working or something. But
yeah, like, I don't know if I've ever met mom, but, besides this, if you ever have a dying restaurant in the Albany or, Glens Falls area, call the O'Neills. That's your saving grace. They're like bar restaurants.
We'll put the final bullet in that thing.
Oh, you're full of shit. Your sister saved West Mountain. Come on now. Come on now. We know better.
Brutal. I had to get out, man. I had to get out of that business.
Well, you know, I was just telling a story yesterday to a guy I work with who worked in bars from like Aspen and stuff like that. You know, kind of guy that's like, yeah, I was with John Denver doing coke kind of thing.
Right.
You know, that era. And we were talking about it. And I remember my parents owned a liquor store and a bar growing up as a kid this was in Essex. I grew up in Dundalk. And I remember as I was getting ready to get out of the Marine Corps or thinking about it, I should say.
Yeah.
I said to my dad, why don't we open a bar together? And the old man goes, no. I'm like, why? He goes, so I want to spend all day worrying about who's stealing from me. Everyone's stealing from you every day. Yeah. Everyone's stealing from you. I'm like, what do you mean? And he proceeded to tell me stories and I'm like, got it. So I'm not doing that.
Yeah. Yep.
So you understand that one.
Oh yeah.
So Joe, we're going to get ready to wrap this thing up here. Cool. What's some final words of wisdom you got for everybody?
Keep collecting, keep hunting, get out there. There's still, you know, the nice thing is that, you know, here we are 40 years after the 80s and there's still lots of great toys to be found out there. If you just keep searching, you never know what you're going to find. Ask questions, you know, let people know that you're a toy collector, because you'll never know, like, oh yeah, my neighbor down the street, he said he had his childhood such and such, or his, you know, kid's childhood such and such. And then you might find some real treasures in there.
So there you go, folks. Keep hunting. You'll find them. They're out there. Joe, once again, I appreciate you, brother. And look, everyone, be sure to push your stool in.